Well, hello, everybody. Get ready for episode 2 of Good Life You. Last week, we talked a little bit about the overview of Good Life You, and basically, you know, it's all about tackling workforce stability in ways that improve the life of people with disabilities and the people who make that possible, which is our DSP heroes, and also in a way that improves the capacity of the providers that make all of this possible and that push forward their mission. And I call that a win-win-win strategy. We want to do all three because when you do one, you know, usually one thing pushes against the other, and we have to get all the goals lined up. So that's what our goal is for these sessions. And across our never-ending journey, we're going to go through a number of components. And I kind of want to summarize it real quickly, but, you know, we're going to hit scheduling. And then we're going to talk about PTOs. We're going to talk about vacancy management and give an episode on vacancy management, recruitment and hiring strategies. Then we're going to talk about benefit strategies. And we're going to give an episode on case mix and the importance of having the right case mix in a home or a program. We'll have an episode on what I call the home size inclusion and individual support dilemma and how that will work. And then we'll dedicate a show on neighborhood staffing and day services without walls and kind of putting everything all together. And we'll go from there to talk about technology and how we can improve labor strategies through technology. And like the final bonus episode is really going to focus on what I call you get what you pay for. And that's an episode that really talks about, you know, funding and policy and what kind of changes we need for the next generation of care. So we got a lot of cover in a number of episodes, but it's going to be a great series, and we're excited to have everybody involved. Make sure, if you haven't seen the first episode, please go back and check that out. And for sure, you know, hit follow, and you'll get all these podcasts exactly where you get them. So that's exciting, and we're looking forward to it. So today's show, we're going to start out, and this one is called wonky schedules. Okay, wonky. You know, that's a word. That's a slang word. And what are wonky schedules? And you know, how do we get them? And what havoc do they cause for workforce stability? Well, and you know, wonky is sort of something you look at and it doesn't look right. You know, it's off balance. It's out of kilter. It doesn't make sense. But you know, with respect to schedules, it's one of those things you look at and you say, man, that doesn't look right. But you can perfectly explain how you got there. I mean, it makes sense how you produce the schedules in many ways, but the result is wonky. And if it's wonky, it's not going to work for people who really need it the most, which is all three of those people. You know, it's critical. So you know, wonky schedule could be odd hours. It could be split shifts. It's weird days off. It's on-call strategies that just never get anybody a work-life balance. It's making managers have to work evenings and weekends because you just can't fill openings. You know, it's unnatural transitions in a day. They're complicated. They're ever-changing. They're just not predictable. You know, they're just wonky. That's what they are. And so the first thing I want to talk about today a little bit is how do these things happen? How do these schedules, you know, become crazy and look like they just seemingly don't make sense? Well, you know, there are perfectly sensible things that cause them to be that way. And the first one is just, you know, highly dispersed in ever smaller home settings where people are working to support fewer and fewer people in homes where their needs ebb and flow and so their needs for support also ebb and flow in ways that make it almost impossible for you to come up with a schedule to deliver that. And going into that, individualized care decisions, even when multiple people, you know, probably the most popular program is a home that might have three people, but what causes problems is when, you know, you make individualized care decisions, which is exactly what you want to do, but you do it in a way without regard to what other people's schedules are. Like, you know, there are three people in this family, and you do planning for this person, and then you do planning for this person, and then you do planning for this person, as if none of those things are related. And let me get, I mean, most all of us have, you know, have a family. And I, you know, I used to have a, my son would play baseball, and I had another son that, you know, was all kinds of sports and activities. And I had a daughter who was in gymnastics and horses. And it's like, these things are totally opposite of each other. But I didn't like sit down with my daughter and plan everything and sit down with my son and plan everything and do that. And then all of a sudden, well, wait a second, these things don't work out. I think I need, you know, we need three more husbands and two more wives just to, you know, to get everybody where they need to be. That's not how you schedule life, right? It doesn't unfold that way. And but we design services to be that way. And that's a problem. So, you know, it's not like you don't want to do it, but in the end, it's not getting anybody what they want. You know, I let me say it differently. So much of life can be predicted. And then there's so much more that can't. And this ebbing and flowing, unpredictable life, you know, causes us to schedule to the highest level of possible need. So all of this, you know, we're not scheduling for ebbing and flowing life. We're scheduling for the worst case scenario. And that causes schedule excesses. It causes all kinds of problems that you may not need. And these sound like they're insurmountable, but they're not. And you know, I always go back in institutional settings, you know, they always put people who are the same together, you know, people who had behavioral problems, people who had adaptive needs, eating program issues and stuff. And sometimes we still do that to a degree. But when you have all the needs happen at the same time, you know, like everybody has an eating program and needs one-on-one support, or everybody needs, you know, support in the morning, you know, that produces like incredible challenges for schedules. The classical Monday through Friday, 9-to-3 schedules for day services, where they're like a dichotomy. You have residential and day services. Well, you know, that rips a hole right out of the schedules and causes all kinds of problems with schedules, because what that means is that outside of that 9-to-3, where somebody's getting this amazingly preferred schedule where they're working Monday through Friday, what does that mean for residential services? Well, it means that you've got part-time problems in the morning, part-time problems at night, part-time problems on the weekend, and you find yourself delivering care roughly with 50% part-time. Now, the national average of part-time is 31% part-time to 69% full-time. But that includes day services, which are more traditional, that are Monday through Friday, which means that that percentage is wrong. It's actually more than that for residential services. And that really became the central focus when COVID happened, because all of a sudden day services were closed and we were delivering care, you know, on the backs of a part-time workforce with a kind of a patch quilt of efforts that went on. And I think that may be the blessing of COVID, is that it really made us understand, you know, the home is where everything begins and ends. Things ebb and flow back and forth to the home. That's a problem, and we need to look at that and look at how we solve those kinds of things. But that certainly contributes to wonky schedules. The traditional 5-day work week, you know, everybody just sort of locks on that 5-day work week. Well, you know, 7-day work week is a math problem, and 5 days leaves 2 left. And what that means is you're really having a lot of part-time positions because of this, you know, love affair with both a 5-day work week, this dichotomy of day services, because you got this 3 transitions across a day, normally it's 7-to-3, 3-to-11, and 11-to-7. You know, there's songs about that. But that causes those kinds of problems. And then Another issue is like this never-ending pressure to adjust schedules for the stayers. I call them the stayers because, you know, you always have people who leave and you love the people who stay. You love them so much you want to give them everything you can give them to keep them, right? Well, the problem is the future of services is not with the stayers, even though we have to keep them. The future of the services is the people who are coming in. And if the stayers are being accommodated by basically pillaging open schedules, you know, open schedules are open and there's a stayer and they're saying, you know, I'd really rather have this day off or that day off, or I'd really rather work these hours. And you look over there at these open hours, you know, you can kind of pillage those hours to accomplish that, right? Well, you do that, and then what does that mean? Well, it means that that schedule that's left is just completely and utterly unfillable, right? And then probably the last thing I just want to put out there is this constant belief that home managers are the ones that, or program managers should design their own schedules. You know, the CFO will say, here's your budget, and here's the number of hours, and here's the ratios, you go at it. Well, that just puts in this enormous pressure on people to accommodate people. It also makes unique boutique kind of schedules that are very, very challenging for HR professionals to even predict or fill or anything. And you're kind of constantly hostage to what people decide to do, right? And it's ever changing because they have the power to change it. So that's how they happen. You know, that's how wonky schedules happen. It's those things that make it happen. You know, you go through all that and you can explain everything, but at the end of the day, you look at them and you look at the openings and you look at the part-time and the full-time and you sit there and go, that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. It's that thing that just makes you look at it and you sit there and you tilt your head. You know, you have one of those things that tilts your head and you say, well, that's crazy. You know, delivering services on 69% full-time people is crazy. And here's the deal. It never gives anybody what they really want. I mean, you might want to keep staff. You might want to give individualized services. And you might want to have sustainable services that you can afford. But none of this is going to do it. And so if you keep doing that, you know, we're going to keep having the results that we have. Remember that old saying that if you want the same, insanity, I guess, is doing the same thing, expecting different results. And that's what we've been doing, you know, for decades. And the pressures and everything on how these are happening, they're not changing. We just need to envision a different way of solving these goals. So I'm not in any way suggesting that should we not have small homes or, you know, should we not have individual? Of course not. But how you deliver that has to work. And it's not working for many people. You know, right now I'm working with lots of agencies that the vacancy rate exceeds 20-25% post-COVID. And it's incredibly challenging. The workforce, the managers are working in the evenings and weekends, and you know the which then just leads to more and more turnover. So, you know, what while the reasons for these wonky schedules are noble, what's the impact? Well, you know, the schedules that exist are not equal in appeal. You know, all these schedules that are out there, they're not equal. They're fragmented. And split, you see lots of split shifts when I go look at things. Too few days off and unattractive days off, right? These are the things that people, you're giving employees things that they don't want, right? And you're trying to recruit things that nobody will want to do. High reliance on part-time labor for residential programs, and especially on weekends and during times when there really isn't any supervision present. Right? You just have chronic openings to the point where really they're not, if they're not fillable and they're chronically open, then you're just delivering services on a certain percentage of predictable schedules with the rest of it just constantly back office filling of schedules from a variety of sources. And what that means is there's so many more different people involved in care than is needed. And because of that, the care is bad, right? So there's too many transitions in the day. And then there's this thing that's probably the worst. It's called schedule migration. Let me explain what that is. Anytime a preferred position becomes open, what happens? Do you fill it from the outside? Well, of course not. What you do is as soon as one is open, then other people cascade to that position. And when that happens, then somebody, and maybe that's based on seniority. So what that means is the one that just left that for that better position had a position that was better than some others. So you can have what I call cascading migration to these preferred positions every opening. Well, what does that mean? That means constantly you've got this movement across homes, across programs, from one staff kind of migrating over time to a more preferred position as their tenure or survival continues. Now, what does that cause? Well, instead of knowing what position is open so HR can hire it, they have to wait. They have to wait, and they have to wait. That means they may have to wait for 3 weeks until all of this sort of sorts out, and then finally, they have the worst position that exists to hire from the public with beginning wages. And that one's going to be open for a long time. Now, because it took 3 weeks to fill, to sort out first, just which one was open, and then you have a very challenging position, it could take another 3 or 5 weeks to fill. Well, what happens during all that period of time? I can tell you, it's turnover, because turnover is constant. You have turnover every week. You don't know where it's going to happen. You just know that you're going to have it. So the longer of time you wait to fill a position, the more turnover happens and the more vacant positions you happen. So it's key that you have to have short durations of openings. You have to have, you know, that's got to be fixed, because if you don't, you're adding turnover to turnover and adding open positions to open positions unnecessarily. Workforce migrations, based upon unappealing and unequal schedules, is probably the worst problem that HR has to address in recruitment. So, you know, high vacancies, long-term openings, high level of schedule migration that we talked about, and just having to wait. It's just a challenging process to go through. So, enough of that. You know, what we've talked about is what is wonky and how did it happen, and it's perfectly explainable, and what's the impact of it? You know, what does it cause? It just causes this incredible havoc, and it keeps you from having to replace things in a way that makes sense. Well, you know, I'm a behavioralist by training, so I always like to look at what do I want instead? You know, what do I want? What I want is I want full-time positions. I don't want any part-time, or as few as possible. And what part-time exists, I don't want to be at during times where I have no supervision. I want all the schedules to be equally appealing, either by their design or by compensation, which will mean that anytime there's an opening, I want no or very little schedule migration, because all the schedules are similar or equal, or they pay differently. And so because of that, you're going to have less movement across that. And so you're going to know what's available immediately, right? I want appealing open schedules. I want, when we go to the public to hire, I want to make sure that those are the most appealing schedules as possible. I don't want them no less appealing than the ones that already are there. Now, these are hard things to do, but they can be done. I want, more than anything, I want fewer different people involved in care. Because as that goes up, quality goes down. And literally, you want teams of people working with people that give them, you know, consistency across time. You want less transitions in a day so that you can have more, you know, community inclusion options for people. You don't want these awkward transitions that force everybody back to a home at 3 o'clock or 2:30 when it could be the middle of their day of doing stuff. You know, you don't want to have these transitions around staff changes. You want to efficiently cover the ratios of a home, including those that ebb and flow, but do it cost effectively so that you're not always delivering care to the highest level of need, even if that highest level of need doesn't happen. You want it standardized, you want these schedules as standardized as possible, because the truth is, and we'll talk about this later, we want to be able to deliver care, we want to be able to hire independent of openings. If they're standardized, there's ways to do this. So you don't even have to wait for an opening to hire if you do it well. You don't want rotating schedules. You want them to be simple and predictable. And by the way, we want as many days off as possible. And because we want full-time work schedules, but we want many days off as possible, because that gives these individuals more work-life balance. It reduces their living costs, which we'll go into, and it gives them more capacity to work extra, which we also go into. So we also want them to be flexible and compatible with school and other things. And you can do that. And there's ways to do that through, you know, unique things about, you know, trading and other kinds of ideas that don't disrupt, you know, care. And we also want to, and I said I want them appealing to the public, but I also want to offer schedules that might pull people in, that you, you know, a bigger market share of people who are interested. You know, there's certain schedules that are available in the public, and we're, you know, we want to offer something like that, but also some things that are different than that, that might pull in a bigger number of people to our pipeline. Later you'll hear this is kind of like the five faucet theory. This is where you want as many faucets running as possible, because that's going to fill the pipeline up. So, you know, what we've tried to go over today is just kind of setting the ground rules for all this. It's basically saying, look, there are wonky schedules and there's noble reasons we got them, but they're not good enough. You know, we need something different than that, and they cause havoc, but here's what we want. And that list of what we want seems unattainable, but we can do it, and you can get closer approximations to it than what we've done. And that's kind of the never-ending journey, is how do you get more with what you have to spend in ways that get that win-win-win arrangement for the DSP, for the, you know, the company, you know, and just for the most importantly, for the person, you know, that we're here to serve. So we are so excited about what we got ahead. We now know how we got there. You know, that's what this episode is all about, is how do we get ourselves into this, you know, mess of wonkiness. And next episode, we're going to talk about actually how we organize to look at scheduling reviews, and how do we, and what is some go-to schedules that we do for solving some of these problems. It's a great section this time. It's really meat and potatoes, and we look forward to it. So please, you know, subscribe, follow, and let's get going along this journey. We really appreciate all your participation. Thank you.